In Revelation chapter 5, we see that the Apostle John gets a glimpse into heaven. And as he looks into heaven in Revelation 5, we see that there is one sitting on the throne who is holding an important book in his hand that is sealed with seven seals. We see in verse number 2, a strong angel began to proclaim, "Who is worthy to open this book?" We will see in the following verse that in verse 4 that the Apostle John wept much because he was wondering who would be worthy to open this book. And then in Revelation 5, verse number 5, we see that one of the elders said to the Apostle John, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, would be worthy to open this book." You'll then notice in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 12, we learn that the Lamb of God is worthy of our praise. I want to turn to another section of Scripture that is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we learn about Jesus and how He emptied Himself of His equality, taking upon Himself the form of flesh, being made in the likeness of mankind. It says then in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8, that Jesus Christ humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But then notice with me verse number 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." If our Heavenly Father has exalted the Christ, you and I should do the same. To exalt means to raise highly, to elevate to supreme majesty. It means to magnify. It also means to praise, to extol. And we see that this was Paul's ambition as a New Testament Christian in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20, the Apostle Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." It was Paul's ambition to extol Christ, to magnify Christ. The title to our lesson tonight is Exalting Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer that all of us in here are totally devoted to living such a life that brings honor and glory to the One who is worthy of our praise, who is worthy of being magnified. Tonight, as we open the Word of God, we want to learn how to magnify the Lord together, as the psalmist would declare in Psalm 34, verse number 3. And we can magnify the Lord together as we come to worship Him, but also by the way that we live our lives, being totally dedicated to living for Jesus Christ. And when we live for Christ, we exalt Him. We magnify Him in what we do. Well, tonight we want to consider some ways in which we can exalt the Christ. We can exalt Christ when we learn to glory in the cross, and when we learn to tell others about the cross of Jesus Christ. I like what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. If there was an individual that could glory in physical achievements, it would be the Apostle Paul. In fact, we read about some of those physical achievements of his life in Philippians chapter 3. And he could have easily gloried in those things. But that's not what Paul gloried in, according to Galatians 6, verse number 14. Instead, he gloried in the cross of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 2, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, all that surrounds the cross of Jesus Christ is glory. A glorious Savior died on the cross. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15, the Apostle Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," Paul says, "of whom I am chief." Again, a glorious Savior died on the cross. A glorious love prompted Jesus to die on the cross. Paul speaks about Christ who loved him and gave himself for him. Galatians 2, verse number 20. It was love that prompted God the Father to send His only begotten Son into the world to die for sin. John 3, verse number 16. If you want a picture of God's love, we learn in Scripture that God demonstrated that love. He revealed that love. And really, the ultimate picture, the ultimate example of our Father's love is when He sent His Son to die on the cross. Paul begins in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A glorious Savior died on the cross. And a glorious love prompted God to send His Son to die on the cross. Innumerable blessings flow from the cross of Jesus Christ. We learn in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. And we need to emphasize that from Ephesians 1, verse number 3. All spiritual blessings are found only in Christ Jesus. As I said, as you think about the cross, everything around the cross reveals the glory of God. All that surrounds the cross of Jesus Christ is glory. A glorious church was established by the cross. We learn in Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, that Jesus Christ purchased the church with His own blood. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful that we can be a part of the church. And as you think about the church, what makes the church stand out from other religious bodies is the Lord's church has been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes it so glorious. What makes it glorious is Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." And we see that church being established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And those who obey the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, they're added to that sanctified body. We learn in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15, that it's a body of peace. That's when we're reconciled to God. That's when we make peace with God, when we become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. The glorious gospel became a reality because of the cross of Jesus. Again, all that surrounds the cross is glory. The glorious gospel became a reality through the cross. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 11, Paul talks about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But have you ever thought about what makes the gospel so glorious? Well, I guess there are several answers we can give. One of the things that makes the gospel glorious is that It entails the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Another thing that makes the gospel glorious is it's God's power unto salvation, Romans 1, verse number 16. The James tells us in James 1, verse 21, that when we receive with meekness that engrafted word, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, James says it has the power to save our soul. All that surrounds the cross is glory. A glorious reward was made possible because of the cross of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, we learn about our high priest. Not only was Jesus Christ our high priest, Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. In Hebrews 9, verse 26, Jesus appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. In Hebrews 2, verse 14, we see that Jesus became flesh and blood so that He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, by dying on the cross. We see that Jesus defeated the devil. And we learn in Revelation 1, verse 18, our Lord would stand up and He would say, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. And at the end of the book, Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. You see, because of the cross, there is a glorious reward. And it's that reward that motivates us to be a Christian and to live as a Christian, to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. The Apostle Paul would say in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, for whatsoever you do, do heartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive, here it is, the reward of the inheritance. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is a reward. And we exalt Christ, we glorify Christ when we talk to people about the cross. Let's talk to people about the cross. Let's let others know what Jesus has done for them. Again, we exalt Him when we glory in the cross. And we need to remember what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. A second point tonight. As we think about exalting the Christ, we exalt Christ when we teach like Christ. Every Christian is to be a teacher. One who proclaims the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about our Lord's attitude as He taught. As Jesus taught others, He had a wonderful attitude. In fact, in Mark 1, verse number 38, you see His enthusiasm. You see His enthusiasm in teaching others. When He said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore I came forth. Notice the enthusiasm that Jesus had. What made Jesus Christ such a great teacher was His kindness, was His love, was His compassion. And you see that kindness, you see that love and compassion in the great invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28, when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And Jesus said, you shall find rest unto your souls. He was kind. He was compassionate. He was caring. He was loving. But He was also bold and forthright. And that's what made Jesus such a wonderful teacher. His boldness. His uprightness. Read Matthew chapter 23. And you'll notice how He met the religious people of His day head on when He said, woe unto you, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Another characteristic that we see of Jesus' teaching that made him such a wonderful teacher was that he was unapologetic, uncompromising about the truth. In Matthew chapter 15, after some of the Pharisees heard Jesus teach, it says in Matthew 15 that some of His own disciples come to Him and say, "Lord, don't You know, don't You realize that You have just offended the Pharisees?" You remember His response? "Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Unapologetic. You see, how we preach, how we teach others is vitally important. We exalt Christ Jesus when we have the same enthusiasm in teaching others, the same kind, the same kindness, the same love, the same compassion, the same boldness. We exalt Christ when we're not ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Mark 8, verse number 38, "If you're ashamed of Me and My words in this sinful and adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of you." Friends, the gospel, the truth of God's Word, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's good news that can save a soul. How we preach, how we teach matters. When we preach, when we teach, we want to exalt Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says that we are to speak the truth in love. We're not to be harsh. We're not to be crabby. We're not to have a sour attitude when it comes to teaching others. I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 24. "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." When we teach others like Christ, we need to be patient. Aren't you thankful that God was patient with you? I'm thankful that He was patient with me. And when I teach others, I need to exhibit the same kind of patience. And when I teach like Christ, I exalt Christ. We can exalt Christ again by glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ. We can also exalt Christ by learning to teach like Christ. Do you realize that our great God is exalted? Our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is exalted when we preach the truth. We need to be thankful that we can hear the truth. We need to be thankful that there are men that love the truth and that want to proclaim only the truth. This is what Paul told Timothy. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. And then he tells Timothy, the church isn't going to want to hear the truth. And that is true at times. There are a lot of people that don't want to hear the truth. And Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, you preach the truth." Peter puts it a little different in 1 Peter 4, verse number 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Again, we exalt Christ when we preach the Word of Jesus Christ. Solomon says in Proverbs 23, verse number 23, we're to buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell the truth. Buy the truth. Invest in the truth. Proclaim the truth. And when you do that, you will exalt God. You see, as we come together tonight to study God's Word, this isn't storytelling time. This isn't to be a stand-up comedy show. What we're doing tonight is very sacred. It's very serious. We're here to proclaim the Word of God, to study the Word of God. Because when we preach and study the Word of God, it exalts our great God. The Apostle Paul pronounced a woe unto himself if he didn't preach the gospel. "Woe is unto me," 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "if I preach not the gospel." The church at Corinth had a lot of problems. But when Paul came and worked with that congregation, he says, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." No, Paul was there to reveal the Word of God. Bible preaching glorifies God. And that's what God desires. He desires Lake Country to sound out the Word of the Lord, as we see the congregation of Thessalonica doing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 18. A lot of people will hear the gospel. They will hear the truth of God's Word. They will hear the message of the cross of Christ, and they will think that it's foolishness. You remember Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18, when he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." And that's why we want to proclaim the Word of God, the truth of God, because it is powerful. And when we teach the truth, it exalts our great God. We can exalt Jesus Christ when we glory not in ourselves. Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, there are a lot of things that we can glory in. We can glory in our own wisdom. We can glory in our own might. We can glory in our riches. But verse 24 says, "But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth the Lord." Again, when we exalt, when we talk to people about the Christ, when we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, we exalt our God. When we uphold His Word and teach it to others, we exalt our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, number three, a third way that we can all exalt Christ is by the way that we live. That is, when we live like Christ, we exalt Christ. When we teach about Christ, and when we live like Christ, we exalt Christ. In other words, we must practice what we preach. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 9. "Those things which you have both learned and heard and received and seen in me do." Notice what Paul says. The things that you've learned and heard from me and seen in me do. And Paul says, the God of peace shall be with you. Paul didn't just stand up and proclaim the Word of God. He practiced what he preached. You see, hypocrisy has never exalted Jesus Christ. And that was the problem that Christ had with the Pharisees and the scribes. It had to do with their hypocrisy. In Romans 2, verse 24, Paul told the Jews, "The name of God is blasphemed because of you." And if you look at chapter 2 closely, the name of God was blasphemed because of the way they were living their lives. And we don't want God's holy name to be blasphemed by the way we live, by the way we act. That's why we need to be like David and study the book of Psalms. In Psalm 101, verse number 2, David says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." You see, when we learn to behave ourselves wisely in an upright way, again, we exalt Jesus Christ. We're telling others to come to Christ. We're telling others to have salvation that is in Christ. But let's give them a sample of what we're talking about by the way that we live our life here upon this earth. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, that we are to walk in wisdom that are without redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer. You see, a lot of people can tell who we are, who we follow, by the way we talk, by the way we respond to others. Our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. In Philippians 1, verse 27, Paul exhorts the congregation there at Philippi to only let your conversation, King James, your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to pattern our life according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has given us His Word. His Word teaches us how to live in such a way that exalts Him, that exalts the Christ. That's what we want to do. And so tonight, as we think about this lesson, oh, come, let us magnify the Lord together. Psalm 34, verse 3. We can do that when we glory in the cross of Jesus. We can do that when we teach His Word. And we can do that, number 3, when we learn to live like Jesus. May God help us to glory in the cross. May God help us to do everything that we can to share His heavenly Word. And may God help all of us to live according to what God has revealed in His Word. And may God help us glorify God in everything that we do. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can bring glory to the Christ by responding to the plan of salvation. Remember, Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5, verse 9, unto all that obey Him. If we are a faithful Christian, and we wandered away from the fold of God, if we left our first love, we can glorify God tonight by repenting of our sins and by being faithful unto death. If we can help you in any way tonight, exalt the Christ, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.